Valley Fellowship Church is a Spirit-empowered community of faith in Huntsville, Alabama. We pray that this recording helps you to connect with God and with other people. More resources are available at valleyfellowship.com.
Today, I want us to think about for just a little bit about faith for this hour. Faith for this hour. Have you ever been afraid? Everybody in here has probably been afraid. So you understand about fear. You understand how fear can paralyze you, how fear can give you anxiety, how fear can make you think thoughts you shouldn't think, how fear will just literally sap the energy out of you. You could go on and on to say what fear does. I was reflecting and thinking about this and just thinking about some times that I remember that I've been fearful and just thinking about sometime how foolish it was, later to find it was foolish. But at the moment, it was real, and I thought about anxieties. Now, I know a lot of you have anxieties at different times because you've told me you do. But let's just think about it for just a moment. Suppose you are an anxious person, or suppose you're feeling anxious about what is going on now. Let's think about what God tells us, what we can do to help one another. An anxious thought and feeling came upon me. I don't remember which plane flight it was because I've been flying so much all my life. But I remember on this flight, I was by myself wherever I was flying. And I remember as I sat on the seat, it wasn't anything particular that I remember, but I remember having the feelings that I've heard some of you tell me about anxiety attacks. It was something that started deep within. I was feeling like a heaviness, but I knew it wasn't my heart, but it was like like I was beginning to panic for no reason that I knew. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I recognize that something is happening to me that's like a panic attack trying to come. What am I to do? Now, I'm thinking this in my head because there's nobody there I can talk to. And all of a sudden, I just had this wisdom that God gave me. Take a deep breath. Shut your eyes. Just take a deep breath and begin to meditate my word. Now, the word that always comes to me when I do that is going to be Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. And I remember sitting there, I was toward the front of that plane, and I had my eyes closed, and I just started trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding, because I could not understand why I would be feeling this way. I could not understand sometime through the years why I'd be feeling the way I am, but I know that it says, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. All your ways. So I'm thinking of this, and I'm acknowledging. Lord, I'm acknowledging you. I've flown to many nations, and I've never had this feeling. I am trusting. And as I kept going over that word trust in my mind, I began to declare, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. And so all the things in my spirit from the word began to flood my mind. I don't know how long that took, but after a while, I felt the peace to open my eyes, and it went away, and it never came again. And so as I reflected on that, I reflected upon the time that I was really, really afraid. In that time, we were pastoring a church in Mississippi, and we were in seminary. I was pregnant with Greg, our first child, and on weekends, we would go and stay at this house that was just had a bed, just what we needed, because we'd go back to the seminary then on Sunday night after church. There was a big tree right before the door, and it had a big limb that went over the screen porch that went over the door. I'd never looked up before, never noticed it, and when we drove up, I'm always the first one to run and be ahead of Jerry and open the door. And on this particular day, when I opened the door, I did not know that literally hundreds and thousands of lizards had decided to be on that limb and in that tree. And when I opened the door, hundreds of lizards, little tiny lizards, started going down my hair, down my dress, down my legs. I was standing there just screaming. That's all I needed to do. I was just screaming and screaming. And Jerry saw what was happening and came and started beating off. You know, they didn't hurt me, but started beating off the lizards. And I was just, you know, panicking. That's all I can say. Well, from then on, we never went there again without him getting out of the car first and looking at that tree to see what was in that tree. And I thought, well, that's okay. I don't have to, you know, be around lizards. Many years is going to pass, and we find ourselves in Uganda, and a revolution has just taken place, and we've been quarantined for a little over a week, in a house without any furniture, a pillow, a blanket, a four-year-old, and one not two-year-old, with very little to eat, some canned goods, and hot Pepsi colors for their drink. And now we were free to get out to go on another side of Uganda to meet missionaries where the fighting was not. And so the missionary wanted us to have a good time, and he was right there by a big park that had just all the things you wanted to see, the hippos and all the different things. And so, and now when I go back, I'm amazed because it looks so different. It's a beautiful hotel there, and everything's beautiful. You cross the water there, and, you know, in this ferry. But you didn't have that back in those days. We crossed on a little canoe, went on the other side, and we're staying literally in like little tents. And so we were going to walk out to see where the hippos were. Now, Barry is in the arms of Jerry, and Greg, of course, is just going. We did have shoes on. And we started just a little piece walking out where the hippos were, and all my eyes could see was hundreds and thousands of lizards. Now, nobody notices that I'm stopped. I'm frozen. They're way ahead of me. They're now through the trees, and all I can see, every direction I look, lizards, every color you could imagine, every shape. And I am petrified. I am so scared, I cannot move. Now, I hear Jerry say, "Are you coming?" And I got out, "No, I'm gonna stay here." But I looked at that, and then I knew in my own heart, you've gotta take charge of this. You are afraid because of what happened years ago. And now you're faced with something you've gotta deal with. Well, I didn't want to deal with that. I didn't really know how to deal with fear at that time. But there's still something that's always been in my heart because I know the Lord Jesus was trust. Trust God. So I began to deal with it in my mind. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to let a lizard steal my joy. And so I didn't tell the whole family what I was doing. Finally, Jerry said, "Why didn't you go?" I said, "Well, I didn't want to go through all those lizards." That's all I said. Now, when we get settled in Uganda, there's these little salamanders that are everywhere. They're on walls. They sometimes come in your bedroom, even though you don't want them there. And there was one missionary house when we'd always go there. One would always go across my face at night. But I want you to know what I found. I first of all had to act like I was not afraid. So when these missionary kids, and they love to scare people who are afraid of lizards, they would come and, you know, put them on you. So first of all, I pretended I was not afraid. And so when I would see them coming, I would just say, "Oh, aren't those the cutest little thing?" And I would reach out my hand like I'm going to receive them. Well, a child that wants to scare you, you know, is not moved by that. So they just go to someone else that's afraid. So I learned by pretending I was not afraid, I began to not have fear. It was an act of faith. I was literally saying, "I'm not going to be afraid." And with my voice, I was confessing what I wasn't yet feeling. But then I got where I could even touch them. Now, I don't want to go out and touch them now either. But I got where I could touch them and not be afraid, or wake up in the night when I was visiting this particular house and know what had happened, but I could go back to sleep. So I want you to think for just a moment. Are you fearful right now? Why are you fearful? Just think about it for just a moment. In 2 Timothy 1:7, you can quote this just like we all have quoted through the years. "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind." God has promised you and God has promised me a sound mind. Did God know this virus was coming? Now, let me tell you, I believe we're living in prophetic times like we've never lived before. I believe the earth has been groaning for many years now because of the sin that's been on this earth, because Creator God knows that judgment is coming and that everything is going to be shaken that can be shaken. And so when you read back before the coming of the Lord Jesus, man, there are things that come upon the earth. There's a signs and wonders that come upon the earth. It says men's hearts are failing, men are frightened. And there's a lot of things that take place just simply because of sin and disobedience. There's a lot of things that take place, whether this took place in the laboratory, whether this took place because they were using aborted baby parts to do this testing, or whether it came because somebody was eating the wrong food, or whether it came because just sin was in the world. Whatever the source might be, we recognize that this is just a sign of the time that we're in, and we're living in an age where it will never be the same again. But just a few months ago, if you remember, somebody made that prophecy. It will never be the same again. This year, 2020, things will begin to change, and it will never be the same again. Our lives are going to be changed because of what we're facing right now. Now, we can decide whether it's going to bring fear in our lives or whether it's going to cause us to have faith and be so excited that God knows what is happening. It can be a time where the greatest revival can come when we, with faith, rise up to pray for people who are sick. It can be just at the right time when God has been telling us, haven't I been telling you by your stripes, by his stripes, you are healed? Don't you know you're already healed? Don't you know what I've already told you? Now is the time to live it, to show it. Because we are not to fear that there won't be enough medical equipment. We are to have faith to know our God has all the medical equipment that we need. That our God supernaturally can keep us and heal us and protect us from all evil. Now, in Isaiah 41:9, I went through and I just looked at a lot of scriptures from the Messenger as well as from the Passion Translation. But in this one little place, it says in Isaiah 41:9 in the Message, it says, don't panic, I'm with you. Don't panic. Now, what is panic? Very much like I was describing to you at the beginning. What am I going to do? A feeling that takes over that sometimes you can't think. In Psalm 71:3, it says, you're the only protection for me. I keep coming back to hide myself in you. You are the only protection for me, and I keep coming back for you to hide me. So where am I going? I keep coming back to God. When I hear reports, and I listen, and I read a lot. So I'm not one that shuts out the news. Maybe I should, but I read a lot. So I want to know. I have a lot of information. I want to read about countries. I want to know what's happening. But at the same time, I'm very much aware I can't just listen to news without listening to God more than I listen to news and know that this is what God really says. To know that this is reality, but God's word is higher than the reality we see on earth today, because God's word is the true and living word. And so he says, you're the only protection for me. We pray this every day. We've been praying it for years. We'd all be dead today if it were not for the protection of Almighty God. God protects us when we sleep. God protects us from winds. God protects us from so many things. So God is the only protection. We're not going to do foolish things, but we have to realize in our heart, only God can protect us. No man can really protect us. Only God can protect us. In Psalm 33, verse 20, it says, his wrapped around presence will strengthen me. His wrapped around presence will strengthen me. I like that expression that's found many, many times in the Passion Translations. His wrapped around. Sometimes it's his wrapped around arms. Sometimes it's wrapped around presence. And every time I read that in the Passion, it just touches my heart. Wrapped around. Wrapped around. You know, the one thing that I miss most about my husband, who's been in heaven now almost 27 years, is his strong arms wrapped around me. There is something about the strong arms that Jerry had wrapped around me was one of the most pleasant, one of the most assuring things I can always remember about him. And I remember it first happened, we were in seminary together, and our dating for many, many months was going to chapel or going to church. And so we would get in chapel, I'd be in classes, he'd be in classes, we'd meet in chapel, and we'd always want to share a Baptist hymnal together. Have you ever thought about why you want to share with a man you are loving, beginning to love, with a hymnal? That means he's going to be a little bit closer to your shoulders, you know, and then he's going to sit down, and just like Pastor Greg, I think you got your arm around Patty right now. Usually, that arm was going to come around you. Now, I think that's why when every time I read in the Psalms, I think about that. I think about God's arms wrapped around me. Can you just think how strong those arms are? Can you just think how that must feel? And see, this is our intimate feeling with him. Boy, I loved Brother Ivan's message on Sunday night, because that just went right along with many things that I just feel about God. You know, it is a tangible thing. It is a thing where you can feel his arms. It is a thing where you can see him and you can taste and know that God is good. But they're wrapped around arms. They're wrapped around presence. Now, when I was looking at different things about all the scriptures here, I began to think. Let's contrast for just a moment. There's fear and there's faith. There's doubt and there's trust. And there's anxiety and there's peace. Now, let's look at it again. Which side would you rather have? Fear, doubt, anxiety, or would you rather have faith, trust, and peace? Now, do you know, I guess I didn't know how to type it to put it on like that because I wanted it to be in a column, but I don't know how to do all that. Okay. Okay, let's think. It's my choice if I'm going to walk by faith or live by fear. It's my choice if I'm going to trust in God or doubt his word. Do you know that's my choice? It's my choice if I'm going to be anxious or live in peace. Why is it my choice? Because God, through Jesus, has already given me everything I need to live by faith, to live by trust, and to live in peace. So it's my choice when something like this happens. What are you going to do, Carol? Are you going to go in that intimate place with the Lord and know that your faith can grow every day as you read his word? It can get stronger and it can get stronger, because faith is trusting in a person you know that cannot fail. And you say, yes, but a lot of people may die. But if they know the Lord, remember, they have a heaven. They're still alive. You see, when things bad come and God's people die, we can rejoice they're alive forevermore. Now, I don't want to be the ones, because it's not, I don't think, my time to die. So I, for one, am not going to accept that this virus is killing people 60 years old and older. How many of you agreeing with me? I'm, for one, I'm not going to agree with them. I, for one, am going to listen and then say, no way. God has a purpose for the elder generation, for the mature generation. God's got a purpose for a 60-year-old, a 70, or 80, 90, or 100 if we're still on earth. God's purpose prevails, because it says we have a long, long, healthy life full of sap and flourishing. So I'm here to declare, and I sometimes say that. When I hear it, I say, no way. We're the generation that's going to be strong. Neither do I want any generation wiped out. But they say it. If you listen to the news, you have probably heard it 100 times already, because every time the TV's on, they say that. And every time we need to have that roar so loud coming up and saying, no way, no way, this generation will not be taken, because, think for just a moment, we're the ones that have followed Jesus the most, for the most part. We're the ones that have been in the scripture the most, for the most part, if we've known the Lord as many years as I have. We're the ones that's to be there to give wisdom to the other generations. We're the one there to say, look, we've been through this, and young people, you can go through it, because we've been through it. We understand how you feel. We're the ones that need to be there to be strong, because it takes the strong and the all classes and all generations to work together. And so maybe the enemy is trying to say, if I can just swap out some of those warriors, if I can just wipe out some of those generals, if I could just get some of them to die out, then we're going to have it made. But no, in the name of Jesus, we say no way. We will live until God calls us home, and we will not allow the enemy to put fear in us to say our generation won't make it. You see what I mean? Now, there are hundreds and hundreds of fear nots in the Bible. Now, I say I'm going to have to go a little bit faster, but I'm talking a little bit more still about doubt, trust, anxiety, or peace. Remember, peace was an inheritance that Jesus gave us. He says, my peace I give to you. Now, that's in every circumstance. This is in every situation. In every situation, we're going to see, as Greg quoted the verse, and I will too, he does not want us to be anxious. But there are hundreds and hundreds of fear nots in the Bible. And I was just looking through them. One list had about 80, another one had about 300 and something. And I just thought about how many people feared through the Bible. Abraham, there was Isaac, there was Jacob, there was Moses. All of those had to hear word, fear not, fear not. There was Joshua, fear not. All through the Kings, you'll see God was saying, fear not. All the way through the Old Testament, on into the New Testament, what did Jesus say to his disciples? Fear not. When they would be out on the boat, and of course, the waves would get strong, fear not. Even when the angels heard, you know, were singing, and the shepherds heard Jesus was coming, what did Jesus say, or the words say? Fear not. So man has always had a tendency to be afraid of the unknown. All the way through creation after the fall of man. What man doesn't know and what man can't control. And see, this is why we're being shaken. Man can't control what is happening now. Man can't control it. The business place can no longer be controlled by what man thinks. Because no one knows what's going to happen but God. No one knows what we're going to do day by day, but God, we make plans, but our God is the one we follow. So no one knows what next year is going to be like, but we all know that God has promised the latter rain and that God has promised a great revival. And we all know that God has promised he will never leave us or forsake us. So those things that we do know that are eternal things, those are the things we believe in. Those are the things we speak and those are the things we say. Now, there's so many in there about fear not that I'll just skip some of those. You know, like even when Elisha's servant was afraid and Elisha said, open his eyes. And he saw all the people that were with him. And I've said this so many, many times. If we could just open our eyes and see all the angels that God has around us, you know, we would never fear. I'm telling you, angels, there must be so many angels around us right now. Why? Because we're talking about the Word of God. Why? Because we've been praying, we've been seeking God. And there must be so many angels around us. And of course, if our eyes need to be open, you know, God will give visions to children many times because that's what a child needs to see is a vision. God will give you one. God will speak to us in many different ways if we keep crying out to God. And when we begin to look at like Psalm 37, it begins to say in verses 3 and 4, if I can read it from here, it says, keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. Your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure, feasting on his faithfulness. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life and he will provide for you what you desire the most. What does it say in verse 7 of the same thing? Trust your heart in his presence and pray. Trust your heart in his presence and pray. Keep hope alive as you long for God to come through for you. Psalm 27, verse 14. And what I did was I just began to get a few words out of some psalms. And it says, don't give up. And I'm looking at psalms, at least it will be. I'll be looking at it in just a moment. In Psalm 27, this is literally what it says. In Psalm 27, it says, the Lord is my revelation, light to guide me along the way. He's the source of my salvation to defend me every day. I fear no one. I'll never turn back and run from you, Lord. Surround and protect me when evil comes to destroy me. And then he goes on to say, I will not be shaken and I will never give up. Read some of the Psalms. Get different translations and read them. It would give you peace to know. I mean, it's just like in Psalm 28, verse 7, it says, you are my strength and my shield from every danger. When I fully trust in you, help is on the way. So many good things about trust over and over again. When we look at things like Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2, it says in Psalm 29, it says, this is a song of the stairway where he says, those who trust in the Lord are what? Unshakable. Trust unshakable. A lot of people are being shaken today. But remember, our trust lean not to our understanding. We're unshakable. Now, I'm like you. I've been amazed at the run for toilet paper and different things. In fact, several days ago, when I heard there was a run on toilet paper, I just was going to do something funny. And I Googled, and I said, what does it mean for the run on toilet paper? Now, it probably won't show up that now, but the first thing that popped up was fear. And I thought, Google said the truth that time. But I wondered, did people think, and I asked Greg this, did people think that toilet paper and paper goods came from China and weren't getting any more? And he made the comment, and I found out too, we have a lot of paper mills. That's made in America, thank God. So toilet paper is made in America. So we're not going to run out of toilet paper. But then I thought, well, maybe they thought they were going to be quarantined for not 2 weeks, maybe for months. But, you know, this is one thing that I could have told you a long time ago. If you listen to God, you will always have at home what you need for many weeks. I learned that as a missionary, and you've heard me say it over and over again. Ever since I went as a missionary in 1970, you can be assured I'm okay for quite a while. Because it was my nature when I had to buy things for 3 years in advance and put it and send it to Africa, then back to Taiwan again another 3 years. I just learned I'm not one that's going to get one pack of toilet paper and have to go back next week. I'm not one that's going to have one can of beans and have to go back next week. Because I've learned, as long as you just, you know, make sure they don't wear out and you throw them away, somebody always needs it if you don't, so always be prepared. Always be prepared to have 2 weeks or a month's food. Of course, some things you can't have. But you see, if Christians listen to the Lord, and of course, I've been telling my kids that, and they laugh at me, but I've been telling Kim and John that every time I go to their house, you don't have enough food in your house. And I will say that, look at their paper, and I will say, you don't have enough toilet paper in your house. And so the last 2 weeks or so, Kim said, you know, I had to send John back several times. And finally he got on that we needed more than just one roll or more than one pack. Now, that's just kind of funny. I mean, it's just we're all different kind of people. But, you know, I've met people through the years that only had enough food for that one meal, and they would go to the grocery store two times. I met some people that way in New Orleans. And they were spending most of their time going to the grocery store and then cooking lunch and then cooking supper or dinner, what you call it. And I remember asking this lady, I said, why do you do that? She said, oh, I'll tell you why. If I had this food in my house, I have enough men that would come in and they would just eat it all up. So I just go and get it twice a day, just what we need. I think, okay, whatever you have to do. But in Psalm 125 here, it says, we're unshakable, we're unmovable, just as the mountains around about Jerusalem. So the Lord, look, wrapped around presence. See that word again? So the Lord's wrapped around presence, surrounds his people. And in Psalm 121, I've read this so many times in the last few days, I looked to the mountains and hills longing for God's help. But then I realized that our true helper and protection comes only from the Lord, our creator who made the heavens and the earth. He will guard and guide me, never letting me stumble or fall. God is my keeper. He will never forget nor ignore me. Praise God. He will never slumber nor sleep. He is the guardian guard for his people, Israel. Jehovah himself will watch over you. He's always at your side to shelter you safely in his presence. He's protecting you from all danger, both day and night. And he will keep you from every form of evil or calamity. Now, we could keep reading like Psalm 46:1. I know I'm not going to have time to go through all of these, but God is our refuge. He's our fortress. Whether you read it from the King James, I'm quoting from the King James, Passion for the Pure and Shining One, or whether you read it from the or anything, God is the refuge, and he's a present help in time of trouble. Proverbs 3:5-6 that I quoted you, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Psalm 91, I didn't put that down to read it because everybody in here, how many of you always turned already Psalm 91? And you've already been declaring that. Amen. Psalm 91, that's one that from the beginning to the end, we declare over and over again, no plague, no pestilence will come near our dwelling place. All he promises us, if we will do this, he's promising what he will do for us. So put it all together and let's say, what would I recommend? First of all, I would just say, cry to God. Cry to God. Let him know you're feeling fearful. Psalm 34:4 said, he freed me from all my fears is part of that. He freed me. I cried to God, the psalmist said, and he freed me from all my fears. So cry out to God. Cry out to God and just let him know your heart. The second thing I would say was keep praying, keep praising the Lord until you are free from anxieties. Just keep praising him. Like 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. So you just keep on praising God. Find time to praise God until that anxiety has left. Find time to praise God until you know that all is well. You have that sense of well-being. The next one I would say is increase your prayer and your time with the Lord. Perfect love drives out all fear. The more you know of God's love, the more you know how much he cares for you, the greater peace will come into you. And that peace will come as you spend intimate time with him, just feasting on God, just tasting to see how good he is. He's our Lord. He's our keeper. And then the last one is, again, feed on God's word. How do you feed on God's word? That's exactly like I've been sharing with you today. You read it, you meditate it, you just feed on it. Let it take over your thoughts. Now, I mentioned several things that brought fear in my life, but the greatest fear I've ever had, let me tell you about it, and some of you will laugh at me with it. It was no reason to fear, but I thought it was. We had arrived in Uganda, and we were in Fort Portal, where I mentioned, shut up, because we heard there was a revolution. And when Jerry had gone down to the little Indian market, they said, you don't get on the roads. Everybody has to be shut up, because nobody knows who's in authority. And all the radios, it's just saying playing music until we know who really is the president right now, because a coup took place. Well, we'd only been there a few weeks in Uganda, and I didn't even know what a coup was. And then when Jerry came back and told us, keep in mind, Greg is four, Barry is not yet two. And we had just gone up from Kampala to Fort Portal because we were going to visit where we were going to be living and visit the people and just be there a few days and go back to Kampala. And now we couldn't go back. And so that was the first night we'd heard that. And now we were sleeping on the floor. We only had taken pillows, and I think I had some blankets for the children. And we were sleeping on the floor. The boys were asleep, and we were in the dark, and we were just sitting on the floor. And it was all kind of mixed feelings. What's going to happen? What's a revolution? Are we going to be able to get back on the road? There's no telephone. You can't talk to anybody. We talk to God, but what does this mean? And so after a while, we heard footsteps on the gravel. We heard someone climbing over our gate. We could hear his steps. He was making a lot of noise. We couldn't tell if it was one or two. We could hear him as he was walking on the gravel coming to our house. Now, I want you to know, I can't even describe it. I was so afraid. I was so afraid that I was just crying tears without making a sound. We heard these steps, came to our front door, and tried to get in. We heard the steps going to the next door. By this time, Jerry moves real quietly, gets over because we have a fireplace there, and he gets this big piece of wood that's the only weapon we had, and then he gets back to where I am with the boys. And, of course, we're quiet as we can be. And he's looking at me, and again, these tears are just coming down. I mean, you can tell by the moonlight a little bit. Then we hear these footsteps. They go to another door, and Jerry starts to pray very quietly, and he puts his arm around me, those strong white rocks wrapped around arms again, and he starts praying, Lord, we don't know what's going on, but we trust in you. We trust in you. We trust our boys with you. We trust in you. And we don't know anything to do, but just stay right here where we are. Now, the night passed, and when morning came, here was this boy that had been paid by the Southern Baptists to check on our house. He was only doing his job. He was making sure that all the doors were locked and everything was okay. Now, we laughed and laughed and laughed because I said, I have never been that fearful and never have since, and it wasn't even anything to be afraid about. So God has taught me from that, what you fear the most probably is not real. Because most of our fears are not really real. And I've said that to many people who had such fear and it never even came out like they thought it was. And I said, see, you wasted all that energy on being afraid for no reason. It just makes me kind of, you know, laugh at them when I do that. And they know I'm going to do it. That's my relatives. I do that to nobody else. But I did that to my sister-in-law. She says, you're right. Boy, she was fearing something. It was just fear was taking over her. And the way it didn't work out like she thought. So anyway, so all those months of fearing was for no purpose. So what do we do? It was going to be just a little while later in that same house that there was really a need to fear. Jerry was gone. The boys were asleep on one side of the house. And soldiers had moved in on the other side of our fence. Gunshots were going off. And we knew that soldiers had turned on each other. There was already been reported. There was all kind of crazy killings by this time going on in Uganda. And this time, it's a real reason to be afraid. And I can still remember, because I was so afraid when there was no need to be afraid, this time I got up in the dark. I walked down our hall just praying. Checked on the boys. They were asleep. They couldn't hear the gunshots. And I just kept praying. Lord, I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. And I know there's no one I can call. I know I have no weapons but you. But you are more than enough. So I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to go back to my bed and go to sleep. And I did.
Thank you for connecting with us today. I hope you were encouraged by this recording. I'm Greg Simon, pastor of Valley Fellowship. More resources and more information about our church are available at valleyfellowship.com. We invite you to come and join us for worship. See for yourself how exciting church can be as we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ together.